on that. We are now. We are
Chapter,
chapter 14
yes.
in Luke. And I'm going to open with prayer. Father, thank you that you're with us. You're with us always. We ask that you'd be with us as we look into your word and enlighten our eyes and speak to each one of us. Teach us those things you'd have us to know in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll start reading. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit? And will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day. And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, When thou art bidden to any man, of any man, to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up hither, higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, but thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall be eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. Interesting. And it's mostly about what happens at this one feast that Jesus is invited to. A Pharisee, and the Pharisees also invited his friends. And there's a man outside who, according to King James, has the dropsy. I don't know what that equates to in modern times. Does it say in your Bible?
Let me look. It says dropsy is a condition in which water is retained in the body, leading to swollen limbs.
Okay, so it's like, what do they call that? Edema, right?
Don't
Or
know.
you could get it with,
Carmen is shaking her head in the affirmative.
yeah, I think you could think. My Uncle Joe had swollen limbs up there, but he, when his heart was going, yeah, his heart was bad, and he swelled up a lot. That's when the doctor told me he had to quit drinking and smoking. And he did. After all the drinking he did, which is amazing. It saved his life. He lived several years after that.
He just quit drinking and smoking like that?
Yep.
Huh.
Because he really knew he was going to die if he didn't. He was really, but we thought he was going to die.
And he just lived several years after
And he
that.
lived through, yeah, a good 5 or 6 years more, and was healthier. I mean, he lost the swelling, everything. Isn't that
Wow.
amazing?
Yeah.
All cleared up. It was really amazing thing. Anyhow, so this man had this condition, and but before Jesus heals him, he asks the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal a man on the Sabbath day?" And they don't answer. So he heals him. And he tells him, then he tells him the parable that I think we've heard before, or the question he asked them, which of you having an ass or an ox fallen into a pit will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And again, they don't answer him. And then I don't know why he. This maybe you have some insights in. Why does he switch to this
You know,
parable
that was
about?
the question I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it's really has nothing to do with the Sabbath day that I can think of. But it may be that he's just.
The commentary provides nothing.
I'll tell you what I think, because I've been thinking about it since I read it this afternoon. I think he's got a lot of problems with the people at this feast. I think he's angry at the guy whose house he's at, because he tells him off before this chapter's off over, as you'll see. He's annoyed that they wouldn't even have the integrity to answer a question that he asked him twice. He sees the guests going and, sort of scrambling to get the best seats at the feast, where they're going to be closest to the host, so that they're like the guests of honor. And so he tells this parable, rebuking those guests in essence, saying, whoever exalts himself is going to be abased. On the spiritually speaking, this is true. And whoever humbles himself is going to be exalted. Your attitude is all wrong, in essence, is what he's telling. But he doesn't stop there. Then he goes and tells the master of the house, the guy who invited him, when you make a feast, don't go invite all your friends.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to reciprocate. Go invite the poor people because they can't. And it's so bad. And this I did see. I checked on the commentaries online, and there was one commentary. I didn't do a lot of research on this, but I just checked this on this verse. And the guy says this, one of the guests is sort of feeling that things are getting a little tense. And so he throws this platitude out to sort of break the tension. Blessed are those who come will eat king bread in the kingdom of God.
Oh.
Which makes sense in the context. You know, like I could see somebody do that. Where, oh man, he's just put this guy on the spot. I gotta do something. So he
Yeah.
says, and Jesus ignores it and goes in and tells another parable. And this one is again about a feast. And but this time there's a different message. And the message here is that not everybody who's been to the feast is going to necessarily end up enjoying it. Because here, when the people are bidden, they all have excuses. Now, what are the excuses? The excuses again are like the parable of the seeds. They all have the cares and the encumbrances of the world, the things that they're attached to that are more important. And when we read it this time, I was thinking of that Larry David, where he has this perfect excuse to get out of everything that his mother died, and he keeps overusing it. Well, that's what I think you've got going here.
Yeah.
They've got these excuses, but the problem is. So they didn't really care about what was being offered to them. And I think what Jesus is saying, you people don't want to learn. You don't want the kingdom of God, really. Because, and you're going to find out that the ones that are actually enjoying the feast are going to be people that you never would have expected were going to be there. And the people who thought in their own hearts that they were better than everybody else will find that they aren't.
I always thought that the when he was talking about these feasts, that it refers to Revelation. It talks about the marriage feast.
Yeah, I think there's a marriage feast, and I think it refers to the kingdom of God, which in itself may be the marriage feast. The whole 1,000 years may be a 1,000-year-long marriage feast. And all the guests, there are guests. There will be, it apparently there will be people, you know, we like to pigeonhole everybody saved and unsaved, but there are going to be some people there who at the end of the 1,000 years decide they're going to rebel against God. And join Satan. That's in chapter 22.
Yeah.
One of the, or 20, I guess it's one of the last ones. The proof being that, you know, I think someone asked this question at one of our studies in the past, or maybe it was Brian. What's the purpose of the extra 1,000 years? You know, everybody's saved. Why do we have what's this extra test about? But I think the point is everybody's been tested in a time when God was not manifest on the, where the kingdom wasn't where the kingdom of God wasn't manifest. There's one kind of temptation because it's sort of hard to believe when you see everything going wrong the way we do now. But there's an even greater test when everything's going right.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to really find out, you know, when everything was going wrong, you might have had like idealistic visions. Oh, I'm waiting for the kingdom because then everything's going to be good as you perceive it in your mind. Well, here it is. Now, do you like it? Some people, after they've had the 1,000 years experience, might be saying, you know what? I think it was pretty good before. Almost like the guy in The Matrix when he's given, you know, you want the steak dinner?
Yeah, he's like, my mind is telling me
You
that
see? And
it's
that
not a
may
stick.
be the point of the 1,000 years. The final trial.
That's interesting.
So where are we? I didn't comment on any verse in particular. I just took the whole passage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's appropriate.
But the final thing I think that he talks about is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. And it's what Jesus is talking about. The cost, there is a cost to being a disciple. It's not, and you have to be aware of that. If you want the kingdom and you're willing to pay the cost, it's available to you. But if you don't, and nobody's forcing you either. But and he advises them to count the cost, not to just do it, not just to say you're a disciple when you really don't have a full commitment, because then you're gonna fail, and it's not gonna do you any good anyway. Which is amazing. But
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about that because that's never presented to someone. It's always presented like, oh, this is a great thing. Place your faith in Christ. It's never told, before you do this, count the cost.
yeah, it isn't. And I.
Because it's not necessarily an easy walk. I mean, Jesus said earlier that there's a broad road and a narrow way.
Yeah.
So if you want to be where the crowds are and you want to be, then this path is not going to take you down there. So you should count the cost. And that's never presented to anybody.
It's not because, and I understand there's like a there's two ways the gospel is presented. One way is that it's good news. It's something that it's a proclamation of God's grace to all men. Well, in that sense, there's no mention of the cost. If you it's whosoever will may come. And it's not that that isn't true. It's just that Jesus is saying, yes, whosoever will may come, but you need to know the re you need to be aware that it isn't, that doesn't mean it's going to be that everything is perfect as you conceive of it. It's going to be, an easy journey. You'll have the grace of God. You'll have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You will have, it's not that you won't have good things, but if they're not things that are you value, that's again like the Matrix. It is like that scene. It's what do you value? Do you value the steak more than the truth? If you value the truth more, not
Yeah.
having the steak isn't going to be such a problem. If you don't, it's going to be a big problem. And that's really
Right.
where I think the counting of the cost comes into play, without denying the good news. I don't want to make the good news bad news either, and I don't think Jesus was trying to.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway.
Right. Should I read
Yes,
15?
please.
Oh, yeah, this is the famous parable. Pink says that this is one parable in three parts
Really?
and three parables in
Three
one.
lessons that you can get from one story. Is
Yeah,
that
it's well, he's
possibly
saying
what you mean?
it's three in one
Yeah.
and one in three, like the Trinity. And he was saying
Okay.
each one of these actually highlights a different aspect of the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Okay, well, you can take this one then. You got it down.
Well,
No, really.
you'll see that
Read
when I
it.
read through it, he does it without breaking. He doesn't
Okay.
say, and here's another parable. He just goes, and, or, those are continuation words. So it's actually
Okay.
Well, whereas most people think that it's three separate
Well,
parables.
point those out. Point those
Okay.
out.
Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. Well, that's the first clue.
Okay.
He spoke this parable to them.
Okay.
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance.
Okay, keep going. Yeah.
Or what woman, having
Now,
10
this is
children?
another one, right?
It's a continuation
But it's
of
a different parable.
it's three in one and one in three.
Okay, all right.
One parable,
But
it's
is
one parable in three parts.
okay, but this is another part, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Or one woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he
Yep.
said, "A certain man had two sons."
Now this is part three.
Yeah. And the
Okay.
younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Yeah, journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'"
Okay. Now the three have one thing in common, I guess, right? The three parables all have one.
Well, I don't know if it's three things in common, but it's more the it's showing the work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Okay, but I think they do have three things in common.
Well, I'm sure they do, forest
and that they
that they
all
all find
pertain.
something that was lost.
Yeah, there's this, they all deal with the idea of it's the attitude of God, I guess, with regard to a sinner repenting. Now, explain it Pink's way. He's saying that
Oh
there's
no, I think that you're right, that there is that shared element.
yeah.
I don't know if I can explain it Pink's way. He's like, explain it Pink's way. But no, he would just say that again, they're not separate parables, it's one.
Yeah, it's one. He's
But
telling
read it
three
apart.
stories to bring out basically one point in the. And I want to just look at each one for a minute, each story.
Yeah, so
The
the
first
first
story.
one is the lost sheep.
Well, in the I think before the first one is the context. The Pharisees murmured, "This man receives sinners and eateth with them." So the point of rebuke here, which gives the unity to these three stories, is that Jesus is reacting to this attitude of murmuring that this man receives sinners and eats with them, as though we're not sinners. We don't want to have anything to do with sinners. Why are you wasting your time defiling yourself doing this? And I think what he's trying to teach them is maybe there are slight different aspects, but he's trying to correct that attitude.
Right,
First,
right, right. I think
there's
that
an
that's a
it.
very good point, that it's not I guess
So
what Jesus is trying to bring out with these
the
parables.
first one, he's again, like he said in the previous one, which one, the previous chapter, which of you having a donkey or an ass that pulls in a pit isn't going to pull him out? Which of you having 100, he doesn't say which of you, he says a man, but which of you having 100 sheep, if you lost one, wouldn't go and look for them? But if these sinners that I'm meeting with, you don't care about them. Why? They're not your sheep. But they're God's children.
Yes, that's well said.
Then the second one is, what if one of you lost a coin, or in this case, a woman loses it, and does she just ignore it? No, she diligently searches for it. She sweeps the whole house till she finds it, and then she calls all her friends in, and she's so happy, I found it. Can't believe it. Why? What's the there? It's again, here's the lesson. To this woman, that coin was valuable. To you, these people are worthless. Final one was the two sons. The one son is the profligate son, the one who goes and squanders the inheritance. And the real point of it all is the reaction of the second son, who is the Pharisee, the one who, instead of being happy that his brother was brought back into fellowship with the father, is resentful because he did everything right and never got that kind of saw that kind of a reaction from the father. And I
Whereas
think there's a lot that may be said psychologically about the psychology of the Pharisees in Jesus' mind based on this. I think he
right,
sees them
because
as
I
people
can
who
see.
think they've done everything right all along, and they should be rewarded in a way that exceeds any reward that these people who've lived sinful lives. How come you can just go and fellowship with them? That's like, I think the Pharisees saw God and Jesus more than they were willing to admit. How can you all of a sudden forgive them in the name of your father, really? And here we are, we've been keeping the commandments to the letter of the law, and it's like you're not excited about that, but you're excited about these people.
Right. That's exactly, that's well said. It's like, here we are, who have always been obedient to you, and you're not killing any fatted calf for us, but yet these sinners, and they're the ones that you're excited about.
And in fact, it may be remembering what just happened in the previous chapter. We did invite you to a feast and you insulted us. And here you are comfortable with these people, these publicans and sinners. What's
Yeah.
going on? It's just like it. Bill, very good.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to take that attitude. I mean, I can appreciate the other son's response
I can
myself.
understand it. I can understand it, but
I mean, I would be mad
because
about that.
there's a way, and the problem with the son is that he has a wrong understanding of the father. I think certainly the first son actually didn't have a wrong understanding of the father. The first son had a problem. The first son was rebellious. But he admits it. He comes to he and what he learns during his time of rebellion is that he has a loving father that he can go to in a time of need. The other son, although he's never broken any of the father's rules and he's been very obedient, is being obedient, I think, in a with Within the back of his mind, this is how I'm going to earn my father's affection. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I
That's a
think
misunderstanding of the nature of the father.
that's exactly what I think Pink would have said.
Okay, well,
Yeah, I
that's
remember him
perfect.
saying that
I'm
he's
glad we got to the same point.
that when he said that he went and joined himself to a citizen, he said that's exactly the experience of Christians when they come to understand, or when the unregenerate come to understand their lost condition. That's typically what we do. Instead of coming right to the Father immediately, we will seek out someone to help us, or maybe they can give us some advice or guidance. And that's what this person did. He sold him, he joined himself to a citizen. But as it says, it's like, but no one gave him anything. He didn't get anything. And it wasn't until he came to himself that he decided, I'm going to go seek the Father. And to your point, he thought, oh, well, now I'll have to, now that I'm coming to the Father, I should come to him with this offer of works, or what can I do? And that's
Didn't.
not how.
He didn't come to him with an
Well,
offer.
he asked to be made
He
like one of
all
his
he did,
servants.
he said, I am not worthy to be your son,
Right.
but I'm not asking for anything. Does he ask? He just comes and confesses his sin. His father takes the initiative at that point.
Well, he does. The son says, make me like one of your hired
Hired
servants.
servants. Okay, in other words, I'm not asking for any privileges, but I know you,
Let
I'm asking you
me,
to take me in,
yeah.
provide, I'll serve you whatever way you want. But the father then does take the initiative and say, no, you're my son. You don't have to be like one of the servants.
Yeah.
So I understand there is some, it's different than the first son in that the second son has to come from a point of being disobedient And he confesses that state and is restored because of the love of the Father. The second son, the Pharisees and the second son don't understand that aspect of the Father. They can't understand the Father doing that. They don't understand that he has that love in him. It's really not that the first son was better than the second son. He probably was worse in a lot of ways. But the second son has a problem. Maybe that's how we should leave it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That problem was that he didn't understand the father's love, and the father has to explain to him, "You, everything I had, you was yours as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
All you had to do was really ask me at any point in time." Anyhow,
That's
good.
very good, Dad.
I'm going to stop the recording.